Kreider forced it out of the zone. Kreider moves in. Kreider's shot to Flickin.
Hello, everyone. Welcome inside another edition of the NYR Zone podcast. I am Dom Morena, and the Rangers have moved on to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. I will face the winner of the Ottawa-Boston series, which is still going on. Ottawa currently leads that series 3-2. Rangers took care of their business in 6 games against the Montreal Canadiens. We'll get into the Mika Zibanejad game-winning goal from Game 5 in a little bit. Let's start off by recapping the games that we saw. Like I said, Rangers won it in 6. Then we'll get into some key information about the games, as well as some interesting factors that went through. And then we'll do a preview of both Ottawa and Boston, because we do not know who the Rangers are playing yet. And we'll have that for you towards the end of this episode. So let's start with Game 1. Rangers and Canadiens. The big news out of this one was that Tanner Glass was inserted into the lineup over Pavel Buchnevich. Wasn't really a big surprise based off of the lines in practice and the opponent that the Rangers were facing. And right off the bat, you can tell this was going to be a very physical series. It was kind of very predictable from the get-go. Combined 98 hits in Game 1. Canadiens had 53, the Rangers had 45. So you knew that was going to be something that was going to be very very big in this series. And if you look at the penalty minutes, there were 28 penalty minutes combined. Montreal took 20 of them. But the two teams combined to go 0-7 on the power play. So not much really was going on in that first period. The interesting thing there, though, is that the only goal in the period that was scored by Tanner Glass. You look at his stat line in that game, Glass, you know, had a goal, was a +1, no penalty minutes, which was very impressive. He only skated about a little over 8 minutes, 2 hits, but no penalty minutes, so it was very impressive. Glass got the Rangers on the board at 9:50 in the first period, and that was really it off of Carey Price in that one. Jesper Fast had a solid game as well. He had 1 point, was a +2. Had 5 hits, couple of big blocks. Kreider was evident as well. Grabner had a good game. Grabner secured the win with the empty net goal in Game 1. It was really a game where you kind of were telling them this is going to be a very even series. That you really couldn't tell who was the better team in that game. The Rangers did a great job of holding Montreal in the first 10 minutes of the game to not really allow the crowd to get into it as much, which is something that you have to do on the road, especially in the Bell Center, which is a very toxic environment to play. So Rangers are up 1-0. Montreal really didn't have a lot going. Henrik Lundqvist was absolutely brilliant. Like I said, Grabner with the empty netter gave the Rangers the 2-0 lead in the final minute of the game. Girardi had a great game. If you look at his numbers, he had 1 shot on goal, 5 hits, 4 blocks and 21 minutes of ice time. Brendan Smith was really impressive that entire round. So that's something to look forward to in the remainder of the playoffs, watching Smith and how he's gonna play and how the rest of the series go. I loved what I saw from Brendan Smith. Lundqvist, like I said, Rangers won the game 1-0, so he had a shutout, 31 saves. Had to face 4 saves while on the power play and 3 saves shorthanded. So that was very interesting. And the penalty kill for both teams were spot on in Game 1. And that was the case in Game 2. So we go to Game 2. Rangers take the 1-0 lead thanks to Tanner Glass. really the only goal scored off of Price in game one, something that was very, very surprising. Because when you have a lineup like the Rangers do, no one is expecting Tanner Glass to be your lone source of offense. So now we're at game two. Now, a couple of big things that came out of this one is that the Rangers continue to hit. Rangers had 74 hits in game two. That game did require overtime, so that kind of bumped the numbers up a little bit. But what was very shocking was that Montreal had 58 shots on goal after the four periods it was played. Rangers only had 38. So we look at the numbers there. Jeff Petrie put Montreal ahead 1-0 early on in that game. Montreal came out flying. Then Rick Nash would tie the game later on in the first. I mean, we'll go into the second. Michael Grabner would get one. And I'm sorry, it was Grabner would tie it. Byron would give the Canadiens a 2-1 lead again. Then Nash put the Rangers ahead. Or I'm sorry, it was Zuccarello who put the Rangers ahead. My fault. I have the numbers written down wrong. And then Thomas Plekanec would tie the game with 17.4 seconds remaining in regulation time. Now, that was a play that was very, very frustrating because, number one, there should have been a penalty called on a hit on Michael Grabner that was not seen. Refs had their whistles in their pocket with 17 seconds remaining. I guess the argument you can make if you're a referee is you can't make that call at that point of the game. So that was something that came back to hurt the Rangers there. Then later on that, a few seconds after that missed call, you have Nick Holden down on his knees in the crease in front of Lundqvist. Puck bounces off of Holden into the net to tie the game. Plekanec got credit for the goal, but Nick Holden cannot be doing that. That's something that you don't want Nick Holden doing. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why he got set out in game three. The reasons why he sat out in game three. Because he pretty much almost cost the Rangers that game. He had a bad overtime, which Alexander Radulov would win. Rangers were completely dominate out. Didn't have a chance in overtime. Because from the second period on, Montreal dominated them. 18 shots on goal in the second, 18 shots on goal in the third for Montreal, 13 in the overtime period. And the funny thing is, yeah, the first period shots were even at 9, and the Montreal just put on a different gear after the Rangers took the lead. So they had 36 shots on goal in the last two periods, and then they had 13 in the overtime. Very overwhelming to watch. You kind of had a funny feeling at one point that Montreal was going to take the lead in that, and that the Rangers were going to lose in overtime if after the game-tying goal. So now we head back to New York, where the Rangers have had a hard time winning in the playoffs and in the regular season. Coming into Game 3, they had lost 5 games in a row in the playoffs at the Garden. And they really didn't show up Easter Sunday. Final was 3-1 in Montreal's favor. And the big key in this one was special teams. Montreal went 2-for-3 in the power play. Rangers went 0-for-3. They actually went 0-for-14 up until Game 6 in the series. Montreal outshot the Rangers 29-21. Lundqvist was brilliant once again. Nothing he could do at all. The first period was completely scoreless. Second period, Arturi Lehkonen, who had a very solid series for the Canadiens. He's a nice player. He's going to be a good one for them. Lehkonen put them on the board at 1-0. Rangers could not answer back. Then Weber on the power play, scoring the Canadiens' second power play goal of the game. And then later on, in the third period, Alexander Radulov continued his great game, his great series, giving Montreal a 3-0 lead. Brady Shea would score his first career playoff goal off of a faceoff with the Rangers trying to come back, but at that point, they were pretty much out of it. Did not look good at all. The Rangers were really struggling in that game. It looked like they were skating in cement. It didn't really have anything going for them. So what does that mean? Well, if you look at some of the numbers on the Rangers there, we'll look at some of the key players. So Chris Kreider was still yet to score a goal in the series. He did not. Kevin Hayes had a rough one. His line was he had a minus one, only two shots on goal. Miller didn't. JT Miller did not have a single shot in the game. Zuccarello had a good game, four shots. Zuccarello had a great series. Dan Girardi continued his strong performance. He was not on the ice for a goal. Two hits, three blocks, two takeaways, and only 14 minutes of ice time. Kevin Klein, like I said, made his return to the Rangers lineup for that one game. He saw 18 minutes of ice time, had an assist. Didn't really do much on the offensive side. Maybe he had four blocks, three giveaways, a couple of takeaways. Not much going on there. So the Montreal Canadiens take a 2-1 lead. Things are not looking good for the Rangers in the series. Montreal continued to dominate after the overtime game in Game 2, and the Rangers just seem to not be able to handle their pressure. So Holden comes back in for Game 4. Alain Vigneault says, you know, decided that it was time to make a change up front. And it was nothing against Tanner Glass. It was just, you know, when the Rangers were at their best this season, they were playing with skill on all four lines. So Tanner Glass out, Pavel Buchnevich back in the lineup. Rangers did change up their lines from what they went with in the first three games. The lines were Jimmy Vesey moved up with Derek Stepan and Rick Nash. The Kreider's, the Zibanejad, Buchnevich line was reunited. Then you had Miller, Hayes, and Zuccarello, who turned out to be a very important line in the series for the Rangers. And then Grabner was moved down to the fourth line with Oscar Lindberg and Jesper Fast. And Jesper Fast will go on to the big Game 5 and a big Game 6. So the Rangers needed to come back in Game 4. Fast had the big Game 4 and big Game 5. My apologies. Zuccarello had the big Game 6. I was jumping ahead of myself. So now we push out to Game 4. Rangers have now lost six straight games at home in the playoffs. Have not looked good doing it. Those six games dated back to the 2015 Eastern Conference Finals. And it all started with the 5-2 loss to the Lightning in Game 2. I was there for that. Then they got shut out at home in Game 5. Lost Game 7 at home. And the next year, they lost the two games to Pittsburgh. And they lost the first game at home to Montreal. So things were not looking good for the Rangers. The crowd was out of it. A couple of Montreal players were saying that was the least bad environment to play in. That it was, they really didn't feel like they were in a playoff game. So that was something that Ranger fans took to heart. And as a matter of fact, in Game 6, they were kind of rubbing it in the Canadiens' face with the USA chant. But then we're jumping ahead of ourselves. Big numbers from Game 4. The Rangers came out and outshot Montreal for the first time in the series, 32-24. They also out-hit Montreal. It almost doubled them, 43-25. Both teams continued to go 0-4 on the power play, although Montreal had the two big power play goals in Game 3. Jesper Fast put the Rangers on the board, 1-0, an unassisted goal at 11:39 of the first period. It was a nice goal from Fast. Rangers were on the board early. Crowd was jumping. It was key for the Rangers to score the first goal in that game, because if you don't, that means Montreal comes out and they can go back and attack like they want to. We'll get into their game plan in a little bit after we do some recaps and get into some interesting points. But then later on in the period, after Brady Shea, in my estimation, was a little too aggressive in the neutral zone. A lot of people blame Holden for the goal that Torrey Mitchell scored. But it's a 2-on-1 where two crazy passes, nothing Holden could have done, nothing Lundqvist would have done. Montreal would tie it at 1. Rangers would not get another one until the second period, where Rick Nash continued to have an outstanding postseason for this team. He was an absolute force in round one. If Rick Nash can bring what he did against Montreal the remainder of the playoffs, this team can go really far. Now, the same thing goes, well, you need that from Lundqvist, and you need some other guys to step up, because you can't go off of that alone. The Rangers only scored 12 goals in the series. And the reason why they won this series is because Lundqvist only allowed 11. So Nash put the Rangers on top 2-1. Lundqvist would make 23 saves. A nice a nice difference for him because in the previous games he had a lot of work to do. Lundqvist, out of all the and there's still two series going on. Lundqvist faced the most shots that any goaltender has faced in the playoffs in six games, and there's still games going on. Something to take notice there. So the Rangers are coming off a big win in Game 4, head back to Montreal where they could have won two games. They won one, lost one in overtime. Now this one would go into overtime. That's where you heard the Sam Rosen call earlier in the podcast. This is the intro. We're going to get into, as the playoffs continue, some of the big calls of the game as the intro instead of the our normal intro, which you've become so used to hearing. So Montreal came out hot. Arturi Lehkonen with his second goal of this series, like I said, he had a big series. Jesper Foss with Montreal on the power play, all set up from Mika Zibanejad. The Rangers went down 2-on-1 shorthanded. Zibanejad had a nice little pass that allowed Foss to split the two defenders and get one past Carey Price. Price was, to me, was really not on top of his game throughout the series as much as Lundqvist was, and this series could have gone either way. A couple of bounces here and there, and Montreal could have won this series. Shea Weber hit the post a few times at crucial parts of games. So it's something to take into consideration there. Foss ties the game at one. Later on, though, a few seconds later, on that same power play, Brendan Gallagher, who had a great series, really a pain in the butt. If you're not a Montreal fan, watching Brendan Gallagher, very physical, very dirty every now and then. And the Rangers handled him quite nicely, honestly. Only the one goal in the series, but it was a ripper. No goalie was stopping that. Maybe Lundqvist was screened a little bit, but it was a power play goal. Gallagher was wide open in front. Bell Center's going nuts. Montreal takes a 2-1 lead. But Rick Nash goes hard to the net towards the end of the second period after Montreal started to dominate again. He gets a shot on goal. Price stops it, but the rebound goes out to Brady Shea, who ties the game at 2 going into the third period. Then the Rangers kind of found their legs after that because they started the second period shorthanded for 4 minutes after consecutive penalties. So the Rangers came out in the third with much better legs. They were skating both. The shots were tied at 7-7, but the Rangers got the first six shots on goal in the period. So Rangers came out hot on there. Then in the overtime, Rangers had a power play. By the way, they did not score on it. Montreal was given a power play. They did not score on it. So now going into the overtime, the Rangers controlled the play. They really did control most of the play. And the fact of the matter is they could not finish. Pavel Buchnevich set up Zibanejad and Kreider for a great scoring chance. Kreider fanned on the shot. Net was wide open. Then later on in the period, Rick Nash had a shot on goal that Price stopped. But Chris Kreider came up the rush like you heard at the beginning of the podcast. Got the puck to Zibanejad somehow. Zibanejad with the empty net. Beat Price, Rangers win it in overtime, and now they can go home and win the series in six games. So they take a 3-2 lead back to the Garden. All the talk after the game was, we have to get this done at home. And they did. Because, you know, Rangers in the past, they have a series lead. You almost know that series is going seven. Things kind of changed in the 14-15 season and the first round with Pittsburgh, where that one only went five. Then you have the case where then you had that the next series going seven. But the Rangers are up 3-2 against Montreal and Carey Price. No one really had them going far because of how they played down towards the end of the stretch. But something just happened in this series where at game one, a switch went off and the Rangers went back into that playoff mode that we've seen from them over the last few years. Now we go to game six. Some key stats from there. Rangers blocked 27 shots. They were outshot 28-3. Faceoffs were becoming a very big part of the series. Game 6, Rangers won 52% of the draw. And in Game 4, they only won 46. But key faceoffs from Zibanejad and Hayes and Stepan and Lemberg and Miller were huge in this game. Rangers did score their first power play goal in this one. They went 1-for-15 in the series on the power play, something that was very worrisome coming into it. Their penalty kill, 0-for-3, came up big. Rangers did take 13 penalty minutes. It was a big spark in this one. Alexander Radulov kind of sprayed Lundqvist with a nice little ice shower after a whistle. And the Rangers took exception to it. And Jimmy Vesey got into a scrap with Max Pacioretty, who led the entire league in shots in the postseason, but did not score a goal. Only 1 point, and that was an assist. Pacioretty was held off the scoreboard for the entire series. The Rangers did a great job. Vesey did a great job at taking him out for 7 minutes, because both players got seven minutes with the penalty minutes. And Vesey really shouldn't, because Pacioretty cross-checked him in the net, and all Vesey did was answer. But regardless, you would think the Rangers would get some momentum off that Jimmy Vesey fight. But no, Alexei Yemelin in his second game back from injury would put the Canadiens ahead 1-0, and Garden was not a little too happy there. Montreal came out and controlled the play in the first period. And Montreal did make some changes in their lineup. They scratched Nathan Beaulieu, Martinson was scratched, Mitchell was scratched, Nesterov was scratched, and Andrew Shaw was out for the rest of the series because of a Dan Girardi hit in Game 5. So Habs have the 1-0 lead after one. Rangers just seem to not have their legs at home, of course, of all places. But then the Rangers came out and they got on the power play. And some nice passing work, and Matt Zuccarello beat Carey Price on a goal that Carey Price would probably tell you he needs to make. He needs to stop that goal. For me, it was a very weak goal. And one of the reasons why Montreal lost, because some goals Carey Price should have stopped. Later on in the period, the Rangers took advantage of home ice, and they put the Kevin Hayes, Matt Zuccarello, and JT Miller out there against the Canadiens' fourth line, which really was just a wear and tear, pound for pound line. So that was something interesting to see. Zuccarello would score again off of a beautiful pass from Kevin Hayes, give the Rangers a 2-1 lead. Price wasn't really tested too much, 22 shots on goal. Final minutes of this one, Derek Stepan with the Rangers pinned in their own zone, and Montreal trying to go for the game-winning goal. Cleared the puck down ice. Puck ends up in the empty net. Rangers up 3-1, and they will win the series 3-2. Garden going nuts. Final seconds tick off. Rangers advance. Handshake lines come out. And the Rangers move on to face the winner of the Ottawa and Boston series, which is still going on today. We'll have an idea if they're playing Ottawa, because if Ottawa wins that series in 6. If Boston wins, there will be a game number 7. But we'll look into around the league just in a little bit. So the Rangers won the series in 6. They only scored 12 goals in the series. 2 goals from Brady Shea, 2 goals from Jesper Fast. Those are two players that, yes, Shea plays a big role in this offense. So those are two players you don't really expect to come up big, but to have as much of a role in the offense as they did. If you look at some of the players that we're kind of missing, Chris Kreider did not have a goal in the series. He had the assist on the Zibanejad game winner. Played better with the line of Buchnevich and Zibanejad. Kevin Hayes struggled in the first few games. But then that line of Miller and Zuccarello got better when they were put together. That was the best line in the game in Game 6. Those might have been the Rangers' best players in Game 6. Stepan was invisible throughout. But then again, the other players stepped up. And that's what good teams do. That's why the Rangers wanted to get as deep as they are. That's why they have 7 healthy scratches coming into a game in the postseason. They're a deep team. So Kreider didn't score a goal. Hayes didn't score a goal. Stepan didn't score a goal. Miller didn't score a goal. Only reason why he's not on that list is because he was doing so much. Miller was very, very physical throughout. And he had a great, great game number six. So the Rangers need some more production from those four players going on and in the series. Players that were very impressive. The first one that comes off at the top of my mind was Jimmy Vesey. Jimmy Vesey stepped up. Now, he didn't score a goal, but he was outstanding in this entire series. He was crashing the net. He was controlling play. And it was something very impressive. He was one of the few Rangers that had a great, really a great series that didn't score. Dan Girardi looked like the old Dan Girardi. There was no criticizing him in this series at all. His stat line at the end of games were good. Probably his Corsi, which I don't really pay too much attention to, probably wasn't that great because it's never that great with Girardi. He was outstanding. He was blocking shots. He was physical. He allowed Lundqvist to see pucks, and him and McDonough were a great pair. Brendan Smith was also awesome. It was mentioned in the broadcast last night, and I definitely agreed with it. Brendan Smith gives the Rangers blue line something that they have, that a different look. Girardi is your block shots guy. McDonough is your skill guy. Stahl has plays around with that reach. Holden is better in the offensive zone than he is in the defensive zone. And Brady Shea, he's kind of a two-way defenseman, but more looked at as an offensive defenseman because he's so young. Then you have Clendenning, who's just offensive-minded. Camphor, who's a good two-way defenseman, who, by the way, was given a two-year extension at the end of Game 1 in that series. So Camphor will be here for two more years, putting that there. Smith, he's a physical player. He can move the puck. So that was fun to see Brendan Smith play in a playoff series. Ryan McDonough was an animal defensively. We'll get into Lundqvist a little bit later. But Lundqvist was brilliant all series long. The reason why the Rangers won the series. Rick Nash had a great series with the two goals. He also helped set up some other goals as well. He was outstanding. All the talk about not showing up in the playoffs goes away after game one. After round one with Nash, he was great. Zuccarello had a huge game six. If not for him, Rangers don't win that series. Pavel Buchnevich, although he didn't score a goal, made some really nice plays in the Canadiens. And the next step for him is to put the puck in the back of the net. He was really good. He had a funny quote. Alain Vigneault was asked about what he told Buchnevich, and he was telling the media that told him it's a different animal. And Buchnevich goes, "I know, I played in the playoffs in the KHL." So I found that was kind of funny. Zibanejad, for me, had a good series, even though he had the one goal, because he was winning faceoffs. The faceoff is a lost art amongst new age analytics. So much of the game is determined off of the faceoff. Power plays, or you can tell if the Rangers don't win a faceoff cleanly on the power play, that power play is going to be a bad one. You can just tell. The defensive zone getting out, very important. Off of the opening faceoffs set the tempo of the entire game. So faceoffs do have importance. And Zibanejad won a lot of key faceoffs. That's why he was very impressive for me, at least. So now coming into this series, we were talking about probably the best goalie matchup that you're going to see in the playoffs in round number one. And that was Carey Price against Henrik Lundqvist. And for me, Carey Price was very shaky at times. And Henrik Lundqvist was brilliant. Now, yes, Rangers podcast, some bias, but I'm pretty sure if you ask a Montreal Canadian fan, which I have, they thought Price could have been better. Look at the numbers. Price was 2-3-1, Lundqvist 4-1-1. Price had a 1.88 goals against, only giving up 12 goals in the six games. Lundqvist with 1.70 goals against, 11 goals in the six games. Price stopped 93% of the shots he faced. Lundqvist 94%. Lundqvist did have the shutout in game number one. Lundqvist, like I said, faced 206 shots on the entire series. That's the most any goaltender has faced in the Stanley Cup playoffs so far. Carey Price faced 179 shots. Not really tested too much. Lundqvist won the series for the Rangers because he didn't allow them to get blown out. And this was really good for Lundqvist because coming into the series, all the talk was that Henrik Lundqvist had a very bad regular season. It wasn't the regular season we saw from Lundqvist in the past. Very inconsistent. got off to a good start, then had a bad 2 months, then came in Ronta. There was talk about, well, and you heard it on this podcast when Kevin DeLorey was on previewing the series, that you wonder if Lundqvist gets off to a bad start, how quick is Alain Vigneault to pull the hook on him and go with Ronta? Lundqvist answered that question in game one saying, I'm still the king, even though he hates being called the king. I'm still Henrik Lundqvist. I'm 35 and I beat a young Carey Price who just got nominated for the Vezina for 2 years now. Lundqvist completely beat the Canadiens. He completely beat Carey Price and for me was the deciding factor in this series because without Henrik Lundqvist, maybe, and you know, honestly, I don't even know, and nothing against Ronta because he's been good. You don't know if Ronta could have handled the onslaught that he would have faced. Just something to think about. So then we move on and we talk about the game three a little bit more and how frustrating that was. Special teams were the deciding force of that game. Rangers had two early power plays. They could not score on that. And if they score on those power plays, it's a different story. But they didn't. They won the series, so I guess you really can't get too mad at that. But they learned from that game. They learned from game three. They learned from game two. And you saw it throughout. Nick Holden did not see ice time in the final 5 minutes in game four. That was a great move on AV, and I thought. And what we really saw in game three was a carryover from game two. Montreal, like I said, they can dominate a game two. Shots on goal. They had 18 shots in the second and third period alone. And when you're down by one and you have 18 shots on goal, you're bound to score the game tying goal. You're bound to. And Montreal would carry that over into game number three, like I said. And it was a bad look for the Rangers. Rangers got ripped from NBC. I have the quote from Jeremy Roenick, something that was very, I think they kind of took to heart. And Roenick said, I've seen a lot of playoff games in my lifetime, and that was one of the worst performances I've ever seen. And he also finished saying that the Rangers can't play at Madison Square Garden. Rangers would basically just been saying needed to. They learned from game two and three. Tanner Glass came out. Buchnevich came in. Rangers went on a 3-game winning streak to close the series out. So that was good. Buchnevich played very well in the 3 games he played, despite not scoring a goal. So now let's move on and we'll look at the Rangers' home issues, which was something that was very prevalent after game number three. They lost 6 straight after game three, 5 straight at home in the playoffs coming in to this postseason. They only scored 6 goals at home. They gave up 5, which proves a winning record there. And they've won their last 2 at home. Different home team for some reason. It was weird. And now you're watching game 6 and you're talking to yourself and you're saying, well, you know what? This just looks like any other home game we've seen them play. Montreal was clearly the desperate team in game number 6. They had to be. They were facing elimination. And they showed it from puck drop. Then the Rangers kind of found their legs later on. And despite that, Montreal still did a pretty good job at getting shots on goal in the final outcomes of that one. Despite the fact that they were the hungrier team, the Rangers came out and they did have a good third period. They didn't just sit completely back. Montreal did outshoot them 8-5 in the third period. And they did hold on. So now let's take a look at how Montreal decided to go about the Rangers this series. One thing that was very evident to me from game one is that they were very aggressive and they were very quick on the puck. Rangers had no time to make a play because as soon as they touched the puck, there was 2 defenders on that player. And it forced the Rangers into making some mistakes. And you can tell from the get-go that Montreal's game plan was they weren't going to be the aggressive ones. They were going to let the Rangers be aggressive and they were going to force the Rangers to make a mistake. And the Rangers, when they forced mistakes in the regular season at times, that was in the back of the net because of a struggling Henrik Lundqvist. Not in the series, though. You know, game 2 and 3, they capitalized on the Rangers' mistakes. But in 4, 5, and 6, Lundqvist was there to stop the mistakes, except for the Torrey Mitchell goal in game four. But you can tell that was the game plan. They were not going to make the first mistake. They were going to force the Rangers to make the first mistake. So quick on the puck, extremely aggressive, no time for the Rangers to make a play, and forcing the Rangers to make mistakes and then hopefully capitalizing on those mistakes. And when they didn't, and when the Rangers came out and were aggressive, they relied on Carey Price. And Price was good, but he wasn't great. Lundqvist was great, like I said before, the difference in the game, in the series. There was hits in every game. I don't think there was one game that was not physical. You look at the numbers again, 98 combined in game number one, 55 hits for Montreal in game two, Rangers 74 hits, over 100 hits there. 72 hits combined in game three, 68 hits in game four. Game 5, a little over 100. Game 6, 66 hits. The law of sixes, that's a very interesting thing to look at for that one. But we'll get into that. Probably not. So something very, very prevalent. And the Rangers proved that they can handle a physical series. That was one of the big reasons why you were skeptical of this team. Offensive, the Rangers were the better team. But can they handle the physical aspect of a playoff series against Montreal? And one thing that was very obvious in this series is that the officials were horrible. I'm going to tell you a name, and you're going to think to yourself, oh, he probably had a few penalty minutes. Steve Ott, none. Dirty hit on Zuccarello in game number one, I believe it was. Almost took his leg off in game number two. All missed. I got nothing. Not going to talk about the officials that much. I just wanted to bring that up. They let a lot of things go away. A few years ago, I'm going to say 2012, the Radulov ice shower on Henrik Lundqvist is called for a penalty. Not this year. And it's not just the Rangers and Montreal game series. Officials were pretty bad throughout. This didn't apply in any of the Rangers series games. But the offside challenge came back to hurt a few teams. The goalie interference challenge, where there's no defined rule for that, came back to haunt them. So that was something very interesting. Now, I learned this last night, and I'm not really too surprised about it because of the way the format of the playoffs are. The Rangers will be the home team next round. If they win next round, they will be the home team in the Eastern Conference Finals because Pittsburgh, unless Toronto wins, because Pittsburgh has more points than them, and if Washington wins their series, which it's looking like they will, Washington has more points than the Rangers do. So they'll be the road team until probably the Stanley Cup Finals if they get there, or if Toronto beats Washington and Pittsburgh. So that'll be something kind of interesting. But you know what? It's the format. And number two, the Rangers probably rather want to be on the road team. So let's preview the Rangers next series. We don't know who it is, and we don't know when it is, because there's still a couple of series going on. Ottawa leads their series 3-2, and game six is tonight, or this I believe it's this afternoon. So after you listen to this podcast, put the game on. So that'll be fun to watch. Ottawa and Boston. It's been a good series. excuse me. Boston came back, won that game later. Game 6 is at 3 o'clock this afternoon on NBC. You can catch that there if you listen to this podcast. So we look at the numbers. Ottawa, I mean, these are regular season numbers. I do want to put that out there because, obviously, the numbers aren't completely done quite yet. So let's look at the numbers there. Ottawa averaged 2.51 goals per game while giving up 2.56. Their power play was converting at 16.9%, and their penalty kill was successful 79% of the time in the regular season. Won a little over 50% of the draws. Averaged 48 shot attempts per game. So that was something very interesting to look at for me, because not a lot of shots, not a lot of shots, but they really don't average a lot. And you know what the thing is with Ottawa is that they are defensive-minded. Guy Boucher has had them playing defense from the first preseason game. So that is something to look at if the Rangers do end up facing the Ottawa Senators. Our former friend Derek Brassard is over there. But you know, we all know how much of a big-time playoff performer he can be. Craig Anderson is continuing his great season this postseason. Ottawa won three games in a row in games 2, 3, and 4. And Anderson had a shutout in game 4. So that's something to keep an eye on. Rangers went 1-2-0 against the Ottawa Senators. The one win was against Mike Condon. Rangers were shut out against Anderson and almost shut out against Anderson in their final game against them in the, which really can't make too much about it because they sat some key players down. It was the second to last game of the regular season. Zibanejad scored the Rangers' only goal. Rangers lost that one 3-1. Now looking ahead at Boston, so if it's Ottawa, you're going to be facing a very defensive-minded team and, once again, a goalie that you've had trouble beating in the regular season. But you've proved to yourself that you can beat Price in the first round. Beating Anderson should be you pretty much prove to yourself if you can beat Price, you can beat Anderson. Obviously, getting one past Anderson is going to be interesting. And for me, the key against Ottawa, which is really the key against any team in the playoffs, it's such a momentum booster, is to score first. You can't allow Ottawa to get into their defensive-minded shell right away. Because they'll still attack, but if they're winning 1-0 in the third period, they're going to just dump the puck in your zone and take icings and keep 5 men in the neutral zone, clog the neutral zone, and force you to go in there and force you to make a mistake, and that's when they will attack. Now, I mentioned that I think Boston was an outlier, a team that could surprise you in this postseason, and I still stand by that. If you look at the regular season numbers, they fired head coach Claude Julien in the middle of the season, replaced by Bruce Cassidy. Julien obviously went to Montreal, and the Rangers just took care of business with them. Boston averaged 2.83 goals per game in the regular season, allowing 2.5 against their power play, converted at 21.7%. Best penalty kill in the league, stopping the other team's power play 85.6% of the time, 153% of the draws, and averaged a little over 54 shot attempts per game. Big thing there is, you need to worry about Tuukka Rask, and we all know hot goaltending can carry you in a playoff series. Rask hasn't been too hot in the series against Ottawa. He's given up 4 goals on 2 separate occasions. He's given up 12 goals so far in 5 games, so that'll be interesting to see. He can be a difference maker. Boston has kind of changed the way they played. Rangers have only seen Boston one time after the coaching change. Boston's kind of turned into more of an offensive-minded team as well. Remember, with Claude Julien there, they were really a defensive-orientated team. Now a little bit focusing more on the offensive side of the game under Bruce Cassidy. Power play is dangerous. They have some good key guys, and Pasternak is a 30-goal scorer. Marchand, someone you have to watch out for. Krejcic to look out for as well. Bergeron, who I think got hurt. Was it Bergeron or Krejcic who got hurt in one of the games, in game number 5, I believe it was. So that's something he didn't worry about. You have Torrey Krug, who absolutely controlled play against the Rangers in the 2012-2013 season, the lockout year when the Rangers faced them, when they lost in 5 games to Boston because they were just a different size factor. Zdeno Chara is always a big weapon to look out for. So there's a lot of things there. You'll be facing former Ranger Dom Moore, who we all know steps. He's a talented playoff performer as well. So that's something to look out for there. So let's take a look at the rest of the league and see how the series are going over there. We'll start off in the West, and a lot of one bracket, a lot of surprises. Another bracket, not too many surprises. Best way to put it. Chicago, Nashville. Nashville won that series in four games. Blackhawks were swept. They didn't score a goal until the third, until game three. Pekka Rinne had more points than any player on the Blackhawk roster. Chicago did not show up. A lot of people had Chicago advancing in that series, but like I said, you run into a hot goaltender, anything can happen. And Pekka Rinne was very hot from the start of the series. Same thing goes for the St. Louis-Minnesota series. There was some question in that series because Minnesota came in struggling, but you felt like Minnesota was a better team because they were able to do it as for so long, despite the small little hiccups, and St. Louis had a, you know, fight to get in. St. Louis took a 3-1 series lead, and Minnesota would win one game there. And then St. Louis just came out and, behind Jake Allen's masterful performance, helped the Blues advance to the second round of the playoffs. So three of the top five teams in the league have been eliminated in the first round. Chicago was swept. Minnesota lost in five. Something very interesting to trying to look at. That Nashville-St. Louis series is going to be a very interesting series to watch. Two hot goaltenders. Jake Allen had a save percentage over 97%. Something to look at there. We move into the Pacific bracket. Anaheim completely took control of their series against Calgary. I thought that there was going to be a little bit of a chance there for Calgary because they came on such a hot run going into the playoffs. That's where I had my prediction made from them because I had a funny feeling that they were going to do well, not get swept like they did. I did have Anaheim winning that in seven games. It didn't need seven games. It went four. Spot on, it'll be Oilers and the Sharks. That was a very fun series. I caught glimpses of it just because it's on so late. Edmonton won the series 4-2. So that was something interesting to see over there. Fun watching Connor McDavid. Congratulations to former Ranger goaltender Cam Talbot. Very deservingly playing well. In my opinion, he got snubbed for the Vezina. Those nominees were Braden Holtby, Sergei Bobrovsky, and Carey Price. Price had a very up-and-down season, by the way. So Talbot, with his 40 wins, playing in almost every game, did not get any love. But nothing to vent about there. Over to the East. So the matchups you have in the West, Ducks-Oilers, round two. Those series can't start until the Eastern Conference picture's all set. You have Preds-Blues as the other round two series. Over in the East, two teams have advanced. The Rangers obviously won their series 4-2. Beat the Canadiens in six. Pittsburgh beat the Columbus Blue Jackets 4-1, so they won that series in five. Columbus was down 3-0 at one point. They won one game at home. Pittsburgh just absolutely controlled that series, you know, proving once again why they are the defending Stanley Cup champions. Two series still going on. As you know, Ottawa and Boston. Ottawa wins that series 3-2. Game six is today at 3 p.m. Eastern on NBC. The winner, if Ottawa wins, they move on. If Boston wins, there's a game seven. Another game six in Toronto. Washington leads that series 3-2. That's been a very fun series to watch. Four out of the five games played so far went into overtime. One required double overtime. A series of emotions going back and forth over there. Toronto once led the series 2-1. Washington has won 2 games in a row. So the winner of that series of Washington and Toronto will face the Penguins. And then the winner of the Ottawa Bruins series will face the Rangers. And then that will do it for the quarterfinals. And then we get into the semifinals. And then obviously Eastern Conference Finals and the Stanley Cup Finals. No predictions for any of the other teams. I will make a quick prediction for if the Rangers face Ottawa and if they face Boston. So if they face Ottawa, the Rangers can win that one in six games. I firmly believe that. If they face Boston, I still think it's a six-game series that the Rangers can win. Then again, I said seven games for Montreal. Rangers game went six, so maybe the Rangers win it in five. I think the Rangers are the better team than the Senators and the Bruins. I do think Ottawa can give them some fits with the defensive-minded series. I think the Rangers can handle Boston. After watching this series against Montreal, the Rangers can handle Boston's physicality. And Boston's more of a skating team now, too, so the Rangers can match that. You have to be careful with Derek Brassard if you face Ottawa, because you know he's a big-time performer. You also have Bobby Ryan you got to worry about. So some interesting things to look at over there. It will be a good series, whoever they face. Like I said in the first podcast, that the NHL this postseason is going to have some great series. So I think the Rangers will win the next series in six, no matter who they play. Just because I firmly do believe that Ottawa is a good, it's a good team. They just don't scare me as much as Montreal probably could have, or Boston. So that will do it for this week's edition of the NYR Zone podcast. Like I said last week, after the Rangers next round series, next series will be another podcast. It'll either be a season wrap up or a review of the second round action against either Ottawa or Boston, and a look into the offseason, or it will be an energetic one like this one was, where we look forward ahead to the next round of either of them playing in the Eastern Conference Finals for the third time in 4 years. So that'll be interesting to see how that series develops. Be sure to stick with us on Twitter at NYRZone for updates and practice, lineup changes, and game coverage. Articles will be coming up throughout as well. Be sure to check out our player profile on Jesper Fast, who's had a great playoff so far. Thank you for listening. As always, go Rangers. Big first-round series against the Canadiens. Remember, Rangers won that in six. An even bigger matchup now in round two. It's the Stanley Cup playoffs, guys. It's a whole lot of fun. Let's go, Rangers.